This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The human voice was the first musical instrument, and human voices the first musical group. In 1973, a group of African-American women gathered to lend their voices to the music of the Civil Rights Movement and the music of black churches, songs from Africa and the Caribbean, songs from the Stoops of Philadelphia and Brooklyn, songs of their own. After more than 30 years, Sweet Honey and the Rock has evolved from a group to an institution. And it's my pleasure to welcome them today to Studio 4A. Thanks very much for coming in. I'll introduce everybody in a bit. If you have questions for members of the group about what they sing and why, about their long careers in the music business, or about their purpose, our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. But, hey, we brought them in here for a reason. Let's hear some music. Sweet Honey and the Rock.
One Sunday morning, Bernice Johnson Reagan went to church in Washington, D.C., and listened to her pastor, Reverend A. Knighton Stanley, preach a sermon about how we do not exist in this world as a single unit, but as the result of all of the dreams, the struggle, the hope, the determination of all of those who came before us. And she encourages us on those days when we wake up and turn on the news and we just cannot believe a word of what we're looking at, when we see American citizens being considered as refugees, when we see the violence and the political maneuvery, that something in our gut tells us this is not what is correct, that we draw on the strength of all those behind us and propel ourselves forward with the mission that we have to the generations beyond us, to use our hope, our struggle, our beliefs, our dreams, and everything that we have to lay down a foundation for their futures. I remember, I believe.
Hey, I don't know how my father stood his ground. I don't know how my people survived slavery.
But I remember.
I do remember. That's why I believe.
Well, I always wondered whether six women in chairs could swing, and now I know. You should be here in Studio 4A to watch this. That was Sweet Honey in the Rock. And let me introduce the members of the group. Carol Maylard, Louise Robinson, Izai Barnwell, Arne, Nitanju Bolade Cassell, and Aisha Khalil. I hope I pronounced everybody's name.
Yes, all right. Thanks very much.
Carol, tell us a little bit about the song you were just singing.
This is a song that was written by Bernice Johnson Regan, and we love to open our shows with it. We love to start somewhere in the beginning of our shows to encourage people to take that step forward, to know that there is some place where you can continue to move forward and make a way for those who are coming behind you. Stepping out on faith, I guess you could say. I remember, I believe, as long as I know my history, know where I'm coming from, know where I have come from, I will be able to make a way for others.
Let me ask you just a process question, if you wouldn't mind. How are the songs arranged for voices? Are they written down in parts? You guys work them out in rehearsal? Just make it up as you go along? What?
Sometimes, all the above.
Pretty much we work in the oral tradition, which means we don't usually work from notes on a page. Whoever is bringing the song comes prepared to teach the song. We'll determine who they'd like to hear singing certain parts, or sometimes they give us a choice. And we'll sort of direct how we learn the song and how the song will go. Sometimes people will come and they'll have just a melody, and they'll ask us to make up parts to see what feels right, and we'll experiment until we find something that comes off really well.
So each song is different?
Each song is different, yes.
Very sometimes different. After the song is already completed and we've sung it, it starts evolving. Exactly.
They do evolve. Because this is a group that really, we don't really sing a song the same way twice. There is some element of improvisation that goes into each song, and as you learn the song and as it grows inside of you, you begin to sing it differently. Mm-hmm. So it changes over time.
We're talking today with Sweet Honey and the Rock, who are all here in Studio 4A, if you'd like to join the conversation. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And let's get a caller on the line. And this is Rebecca. Rebecca's calling us from Chicopee, Massachusetts.
Hi. I just really wanted to express my appreciation. I was introduced to Sweet Honey and the Rock through PBS documentation that I came across just randomly on the television one evening, and I was riveted to the point that I was weeping. And I just wanted to thank these women who offer such beautiful, beautiful musical rhetoric, musical talents to the world. My two-year-old daughter and I sat there, and it was just so beautiful.
Wow. Wow.
Thank you very much, Rebecca.
Thanks for the call, Rebecca.
Thank you.
The documentary that she was talking about was on the program American Masters, yes. As I recall it. Oh, that's a compliment in and of itself. American
Absolutely.
Masters.
Absolutely.
Not too bad. Yeah. It also came and documented a moment of enormous transition. I was wrong earlier in the program. I said 22 different members of Sweet Honey and the Rock. But probably no departure was more dramatic or resonant than the one that was uncovered or followed in that documentary, the departure of the founder, Ms. Regan.
That's correct. Dr. Regan, who was there in the beginning as the vocal coach at the D.C. Black Repertory Theater Company, and when some of the actors said, we really want to take some of this music to the stage, she agreed, and there were rehearsals, and that evolved into what evolved into Sweet Honey and the Rock. Mm-hmm. And so it was under her leadership and direction that we existed for 30 years, and when she left, there was a moment of, how will we proceed?
Louise, you were among those. There were two people who really replaced her. You were one, and this was a homecoming for you.
Oh, absolutely. It was like going away to college and coming back 30 years later, and everybody's grown.
You were an original member of the group.
Yes, actually, Carol and I are original members, and Carol and I are dear intertwined souls on this earth. Mm. So all along, I've been coming to concerts and going backstage and hugging and talking and, you know, and knowing these wonderful women. But this is the first time, everyone except Carol, that I have sat on stage and sung permanently with the rest of the women. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was another new member, and that was Arne, right?
Yes, that's me. I'm number 22.
Actually, right. Yeah, you're number 22.
That's right, 22.
Do you wear, baseball players' numbers on your back?
That's not a bad idea. Merchandising,
yes,
people. Let's think merchandising.
Come on now.
Come on now.
People can take more than some recordings home for Sweet Honey. And I just wanted to say one thing. One of the things when we when a new singer comes into the group, it's not so much that they are replacing the person that left, because most of the women that come to the group pretty much are irreplaceable in terms of their voice, how they write, what they offer the group. So we have two new singers.
Two new voices.
And when we come back, we'll hear all six of them blended together with some more music and some more conversation. If you'd like to join us and talk with Sweet Honey and the Rock, give us a phone call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Or you can send us email, TOTN@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. Back after the break, this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're live in Studio 4A this hour with the Grammy Award-winning a cappella group Sweet Honey in the Rock. They are Arne, Izai Barnwell, Natanju Balade Cassell, Aisha Khalil, Carol Maylard, and Louise Robinson. Save the easiest one for last there. If you have questions about the music and career of Sweet Honey in the Rock, give us a call at 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is TOTN@npr.org. Before the break, you were talking about how unique each person's voice was. Backgrounds also, in terms of forming the group, are really very different as well. Izai Barnwell, let me ask you. You came to the group in an unusual way. As I understand it, you were working at the dentistry school at Howard University.
Right. I was teaching there, had taught there for 12 years, not expecting to be a musician, even though that's how I started my life, and mm-hmm. I'm named after a violinist. I gave it up. I really decided that I wanted to be something different. And I had studied sign language interpreting and had gotten asked to interpret a church service. And someone who knew that I liked to sing said, oh, you should sing in sign, because I used to do that as a hobby. Mm-hmm. And Bernice Johnson Regan decided to come to that church service at the last minute that morning and then afterwards asked me if I knew about Sweet Honey and would I like to come and audition.
Serendipity or kismet, do you think?
It's serendipity.
And Carol, as I understand it, you don't really, when you're asked, you don't define yourself as a singer, at least not primarily.
No, I actually don't. I think of myself as an actress who sings. My training is also as a violinist and also as an actress. So when I'm thinking of myself, I don't think like, oh, I'm a singer. I function as a singer. I function as an actress who sings, and that's about the best I can explain it.
Does the acting inform your performance
as
a singer?
Yes, definitely, definitely.
How so?
I have to understand what it is that I'm singing. I'm not just singing words. I'm not just making sounds. There's an energy, I think, and a character to each song. So there's a color, there's a dynamic, there is an energy that comes forward through the songs that I'm doing. The way I sing it, how I'm thinking about it in my head as the music is coming forward. Mm-hmm.
And Aisha, your background is a dancer.
I have a background as a dancer, theater, acting, choreography. I just think of myself as a performer. a performer
mm-hmm.
in terms of all the different aspects of performing.
And so do you work out the choreography for everybody when they're on stage?
Well, we kind of work together.
I started moving more when she came into the group.
When I first came into the group, we were all sitting in these chairs, wearing ballet shoes, yeah. and sitting in chairs.
Oh,
and
don't tell them.
I had so much energy, you know, because I was not used to that. So I just wanted to move and move, and finally I kind of got the group up and moving.
We're seriously up on our feet now.
No doubt.
Well, why don't we hear another song?
Precious memories.
Precious memories.
How they linger.
Oh,
how they ever flood my soul.
Precious Memories, Sweet Honey in the Rock, live in Studio 4A on Talk of the Nation. Let's get another caller on the line, and this is Michael. Michael calling us from Wichita, Kansas.
Hello. It was a real pleasant surprise to hear Sweet Honey's voices on the radio when I turned on the radio. And I wanted to mention that at our child's dedication in our church, I sang with three other people this song, Your Children.
Oh, on children, yeah.
I think of the song very often. I'm raising the child while my wife works, and I think of the song very often when problems arise or
long. It's just, those rare
when
occasions.
They start thinking for themselves.
Yes, exactly. And I would like to hear a little bit more about the background of the song and how you came to write it.
Yes, the text is by Khalil Gibran. It's called On Children, and it's a section of the book The Prophet. I heard this read at All Souls Church every month when children were dedicated in the church. And I kept thinking, Lord, there must be another way that we can hear this song every month. And it started singing itself to me, and literally that's kind of what happened. And there was a group that I had started at the church called the All Souls Jubilee Singers, and they were the first ones to sing it, and I brought it to Sweet Honey when I came.
Michael, thanks very much.
Yes, well, thank you very much.
Okay, so long. Let's go to Doc, and Doc's calling us from Santa Rosa, California.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
My question is, I was wondering about the nature of Sweet Honey on the Rock, the name, where it came from. And I have sort of a running bet with an old girlfriend about that it refers to a certain part of the female anatomy. Thank you for being just strong women with a huge voice out there, and keep it up.
How much is the Carol Maylard, does it relate to the human foot?
The human foot. I guess if you're patting your feet while you're singing the song, it refers to a land. It's comes from a parable in the Bible, and refers to a land where that is so rich. Even if you opened a rock, you would find it flowing, overflowing with sweet honey. And it is a metaphor, I guess, in some ways for. I guess for black women, for African-American women, as in there is a strength, mm-hmm. and some people would call it a hardness. We just say strength. But when you really get to the warm core of it all, we are overflowing with beautiful things, including sweet, sweet sweetness.
It also has to do a little bit with adaptability, which we as African-Americans and African-American women have to do constantly. And it says something about the properties of honey, which when it's warm, honey is very fluid. Mm-hmm. And when it's cold, it gets a little crystalline. But it maintains its sweetness, and
Amen.
That's the important thing.
Louise Robinson, you were there. I understand that the song, Sweet Honey in the Rock, was the first song you guys learned.
Yes, it was. We actually had formed a larger group with men and women, and at each rehearsal, the group got smaller and smaller and smaller. And smaller.
As these groups tend to get.
Yes. Yeah. And one day there were just four women sitting there, and we decided, let's move forward. And Bernice taught us that song, Sweet Honey in the Rock.
Mm-hmm. And been singing it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Has there ever been any consideration in all those years to inviting men or other people to join the group?
You want to join us?
you've never heard me sing. Now, I just wondered.
It started with men.
Yeah.
But, they had their chance.
I always like to mention this. There's one of the gentlemen who were one of the in the original rehearsal ensemble. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mike Hodge. He has a chapter in Sweet Honey's autobiography, We Who Believe in Freedom, that talks about him being one of the first members of Sweet Honey and the Rock, and people just can't believe it. But he's a singer, and he was with us, so we say he's an old sweet honey.
So he'd be number 5A.
Yes.
let's get another caller on the line, and this is Cheryl Lee. Cheryl Lee calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hello, ladies. This is Cheryl Lee.
Hi, Cheryl Lee.
Robinson. It's funny, that metaphor the gentleman out there in the Midwest made about the name of Sweet Honey and the Rock. Yes, it is a warm core of sweet honey. And in my own experience with Sweet Honey in the Rock, it's always been a nurturing spirit. Mm-hmm. So I thought that Carol and Louise and you two as I, who have been a nurturing spirit to me, would love to know that my daughter Beth has just had her first baby.
Oh, my God. Oh,
congratulations.
And Erica Elizabeth McRae will be 1 year old on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, congratulations.
You would suggest which album I should send Beth to
take her, bring her through her first year of motherhood.
Oh, still the same. Me, you can do, what's the other one? All for Freedom.
I Got Shoes.
I Got Shoes. You Got Shoes. Cheryl, that is so great.
Great. I'll have to find some way to get in touch with you, Maylard. I know I have your email somewhere around.
Girl, go to the website. Go to sweethoney.com and say that you're, you know, that we know who you are and you're trying to reach us. It's a blessing to hear from
congratulations.
You. Congratulations.
Hi. Congratulations.
I have the main, I think the main email. I'm sorry, people, for doing this.
Cheryl was a member of the D.C. Black Repertory Company. She was one of the original members of the company.
Ah.
Yes, well, the real workshop rehearsal piece.
And she was in Bernice's workshop, too.
Yes, I'm sorry, ladies, but I love you all, and I miss you.
We love
You're
you,
part
too.
Part of my life.
Thank you for the call, Cheryl Lee, and also let me add my congratulations
all
as
right,
well.
Then, bye all right, then.
Bye-bye. We're talking with Sweet Honey in the Rock, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email we got from Lucia in Toke or Talk. I'm not sure which it is. Toke, Alaska. They said there's a pronouncer here at the bottom. A friend of mine took a vacation at an island resort in British Columbia and spent it singing with the members of Sweet Honey and the Rock. She's not a singer, but felt the experience was liberating and therapeutic. Could Sweet Honey members talk about reaching the rest, teaching the rest of us to sing, and how they help non-singers find their voice?
Mm-hmm. Izai is the master.
Is she?
She is the master.
Izai, go ahead.
Wow. Yeah, I do workshops because I really feel that people want to sing. I feel like everybody wants to sing. I feel like most people have horror stories about singing and they are intimidated and afraid. And I would like it to be my personal mission to eradicate that from the earth. And I would like us all at some point to know a core of the same song so that one day we can sing them around the world together at the same time.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be fabulous? You know, with the technology and everything.
Well, you know, people have prayer. They do. Yeah.
That's right.
They have days of prayer and everybody's praying
and
at the same time or meditating and do a singing circle. You know, at the certain time. Oh, Sweet Honey, sounds like a project.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing that's important is that when you look at music and singing out of an African worldview, there isn't anything extraordinary about singing. In the Western world, we sort of elevate everybody who is an artist up to a level that no one can aspire to reach. And so I try to get people to understand that singing is just a part of our culture and our society, and that we all are expected to participate in it. You know, and if you have one note, sing it loudly and strongly and with gusto, and we'll find your key, and we'll sing with you.
There's some keys that will remain undiscovered for a very long time.
The key of H.
In my case, H flat.
H flat.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Susan. Susan's calling us from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hi, I am just so in awe to be on the phone line with you. I started listening to Sweet Honey back in the 70s when I was living in Berkeley, and saw lots of Sweet Honey and Chris Williamson and Holly Meir and lots of folks. And a couple of years ago, you were in Jacksonville, Florida during Black History Month, and I teach at an inner city high school, and I took a couple of students with me. And one of you sang the song about lack of representation for citizens of Washington, D.C. Mm. And this student was so moved to finally put a name to so much of the unfairness that we face in our lives that she not only is now in college, but has decided she wants to go to law school and has just, it all stemmed from that moment and hearing you put so much of what she felt into words. And I just want to thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you. Her. Yes.
And give her our best. Yeah, that's what it's about. Give her our best.
I will. Thank you so much. And keep singing.
Thank you.
I'm not sure there's too much of a problem with that. Susan, thanks very much for the phone call. We're going to take another short break now, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Sweet Honey and the Rock and get a chance to hear some more of their music. If you'd like to join the conversation, again, give us a phone call. It's simple, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. Back after the break, it's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow it's Science Friday. This week the Kansas Board of Education approved new science standards that cast doubt on the theory of evolution. Join Ira Flato for the latest news on teaching evolution, plus a conversation with author Chris Mooney about what he calls the Republican War on Science. That's all tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. Today we're in Studio 4A, and my guests are Sweet Honey in the Rock. They are Arne, Dr. Izai Barnwell, Netanju Bolade Cassell, Aisha Khalil, Carol Maylard, and Louise Robinson. If you have questions for the group about their career or their music or about their message, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. But let's take a break from talking. How about another tune?
Izai, you want to say a little bit about where this comes from?
This is No Mirrors in My Nana's House. It's a song, and it's also a book now. And it's also been on Nickelodeon.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
But it started as a piece for dance, actually, with a story. So it started before that with a friend of mine in Washington, D.C., who told me about her growing up.
Mm-hmm. With...
Yes,
okay, well, I'm going to sing the song.
Yes,
okay.
Going to sing
Let
the song.
Let the song tell the story, Carol. Calm down, okay? There were no mirrors in my nana's house. No mirrors in my nana's house.
There were no mirrors in my nana's house. No mirrors in my nana's house. And the beauty that I saw in everything, the beauty in everything, was in her eyes. I'm telling you now, there were no mirrors in my nana's house. No mirrors in my nana's house. There were no mirrors in my nana's house. No mirrors in my nana's house.
No mirrors in the house.
I never knew that my skin was too black. I never knew that my nose was too flat. I never knew that my clothes didn't fit. I never knew there were things that I missed. Cause the beauty in everything was in her eyes. There were no mirrors in my nana's house.
No mirrors in my nana's house.
No mirrors in the house. I was intrigued by the cracks in the wall. The dust in the sun looked like snow that would fall. The noise in the hallway was music to me. The trash and the rubbish would cushion my feet. And the beauty in everything was in her eyes. Was in her eyes. Was in her eyes. Oh, don't you know there were no mirrors in my nana's house.
No mirrors in
my nana's house. There were no mirrors in my nana's house.
No mirrors
in my nana's house. The world outside was a magical place. I only knew love and I didn't know hate. And the beauty in everything was in her eyes. In my nana's house. I'm telling you now, there were no mirrors in my nana's house. No mirrors in my nana's house.
No mirrors in the
house. There were no mirrors in my nana's house.
No mirrors
in my nana's house. And the beauty that I saw in everything, the beauty in everything, was in her eyes. In my nana's eyes. Child, look deep into my eyes.
No mirrors in the house.
No mirrors in the house. No mirrors in the house. No mirrors in the house.
Sweet Honey in the Rock. No mirrors. How many songs do you guys know?
Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Can't
Hundreds.
Even count.
We can't
even
count.
We know songs that we don't know that we know.
Yes.
That's, you know, and that's
what
happens. We know
that's
songs
true.
That we don't know that we know.
That's exactly.
And one of the things with my coming into the group,
mm-hmm.
I used to sub.
This is Arne. Yep.
Yes. Hi. I used to work as a substitute, and I'm a huge fan of Sweet Honey, so this is a fan's dream come true.
So when you were a substitute, did you have to know those hundreds of songs and be ready to plug in at any minute?
Absolutely. And sometimes I didn't know. But there is the Sweet Honey saying, take it from my mouth.
Oh.
Taking the song mm-hmm. from the mouth and singing it.
And it's like being plugged in to the person who's got the words.
Absolutely.
So you lock into them mm-hmm. on all whatever, your whole body is in tune to whatever those words are going to be. I was a sub also for a little while.
Uh-huh.
So I know some songs I absolutely did not know, but I knew the form.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
You know the form. You can hear where
you can
the
hear
portal
where the changes
structure
are
is going,
yeah.
And you can find something to do.
And you can and,
one note.
And if you don't know the words, you can hum.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
That's
yeah.
right.
Or echo.
Or echo.
Got another caller on the line. This is Susie. Susie's with us from Cincinnati.
Yes, I am.
You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I had two comments to make. One is that Sweet Honey in the Rock is my favorite, one of my favorite two concerts. I saw you all, and I saw Ladysmith's Black Mambazo, and you're my favorite two concerts ever.
Good company.
Right.
Thank you.
Definitely.
You and might be able to see us together later in the summer.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love that. Mm-hmm.
Just watch our website.
Okay. My other comment was that I'm a sign language interpreter, and I was amazed to find that you all had your own sign language interpreter, and it just added another dimension to your music that was just fantastic. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
Isai, you were talking about one of the reasons you came into the group was as an interpreter, but then found you couldn't do two things at the same time, but the group has kept an interpreter all these years.
Absolutely. Her name is Shirley Childress Saxton, and she's been working with us since 1980, and we are really, really fortunate to have a sign language interpreter who has moved into the artistic element in the way and with the great depth that she has, because most interpreters don't get a chance to be that expressive. Mm-hmm. So she's fortunate, and so are we.
She knows all those songs too, huh?
Oh, yes.
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she listens.
I also, why is it that a musical group feels it so important to communicate with those who can't hear them well?
Because actually, a lot of deaf people like music. They just need to understand what the words are. Mm. And so if you're ever in an environment like Gallaudet University, you'll hear music all over the campus. It's blaring. But they may not really understand all of the lyrics. And we want them to know exactly what we're singing.
Susie, thanks.
Shirley does just a wonderful job at it. Thanks again. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for the call. Let's go now to Susan. And Susan's calling us from Cleveland.
Yes, it's a very popular name today.
Uh-huh.
What I would like to ask, we've had a lot of setbacks in our movement, whether it's the Supreme Court nominations and Bush re-election, but you've maintained your optimism.
Hmm.
How have you done that?
Oh, by God's promise.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You know, we believe we were all spiritual women, and I don't mean by a certain religion. I just think that we know that our life force is from God. And you know, I'm speaking for me,
but I think,
you know, across the board, we want to uplift people. We want to give people hope. We don't want to lay down and die. We want to live, and we want to rise above. Mm-hmm. And, you know. That's how we do that.
Well, Susan, let me turn that around and ask you. Clearly, after some of those things that you regard as disappointments, you managed to get out of bed the next day.
Yes.
What's kept you going?
Well, I want to run on and see what the end's going to be.
You go ahead.
All right.
All right.
Run on.
And that's really.
We will come together again.
Yeah, absolutely.
We will. And the majority of the people of this country will unify and make a better world.
Yeah. People have to be open to growth and know that they don't know everything at the moment that they think they're supposed to know it, that sometimes things will unfold and you just have to get up in the morning, like you said, and run on and see what the end is going to be. Put one foot in front of the other, wade in the water, the whole thing, just keep on moving, because if you stop, it's over.
That's right.
You have to keep moving forward.
Thanks very much for the call, Susan.
Thank you.
Moving forward, musically moving forward, Natanji, let me ask you, you come from I'm looking in the wrong direction, sort of a hip-hop background. You're hiding there behind the microphone. How do you incorporate hip-hop into the kind of music that we're hearing today?
I don't understand your question.
Well, do you bring that element into the program with you?
I tend to write a lot of lyrical poetry interpreted in a rap hip-hop fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider myself a hip-hop artist or even a rapper.
Uh-huh.
I'm a talker. And a lot of times I have a lot to say. And the fastest way for me to get it out is through that kind of spoken word. And I've written Young and Positive. I've written Give the People the Right to Vote. I've written Tribute. I've written Little Shaker Ray, new piece, member of the world community.
A priority.
Yes, and a lot of those have that format in the song.
And not just format, but topics. Is it important to keep the group current with the events?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This group, we discuss all of the issues that are going on today constantly. They're in all of our songs. They're in our music. That is part of our mission. In addition to uplifting and writing spiritual music, in addition to music that informs, we also have to write music that lets people know that we are aware of what is present today and leave that music hopefully in a tradition and a legacy where long after we have left this planet, those songs are still around, where people will have access to that music and grow and learn and use them as tools as how to move forward in the future, how to deal with some of these things. Understand that Harry Moore, his family was, his house was blown up, he and his wife were killed, to understand what happened in the civil rights movement, to use those songs, to understand about peace, to understand about battered earth, to understand about the environment, all those things that are happening, those songs, many of them are dated by when they were written, and they become a part of history.
We're talking today with the group Sweet Honey in the Rock. They've joined us here in Studio 4A. If you'd like to join us, it's 800-989-8255. You can also send us email, totn@npr.org. And this is Talk of the Nation coming to you from NPR News. Let's get another caller on the line. This is Rena. Rena calling from New Haven, Connecticut.
Wow. I'm a rabbi, and I have listened to Sweet Honey in the Rock for 15 years. And I hear your songs to be testimonials. And when I'm pounding out sermons, I often blare the music so that it shakes my house. And I just want to express my gratitude for your vision and your ability to convey that through all the technology. And keep doing what you're doing. And thank you and God bless.
Thank you.
God bless
wow.
you.
Wow. This is my first authentic 6 degrees of separation. So.
I'm not sure the radio counts.
It counts. It's a tool. But if I hang up, I don't want to hang up because I'm on my speakerphone. So just hang me up, but I want to keep listening.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much.
There's a radio for that, too. But anyway. Thanks very much for the call, and let's see if we can squeeze in one more before we'll hear one more tune. Diane calling from San Francisco.
Hi, I'd like to pay homage to Sweet Honey for all the women groups that formed around the country because of their exposure to you. Mm. I'm from New Orleans, and there's a wonderful group of several sisters, Sister Denema, Sister Anawa, Sister Tayari, and other sisters who've been singing since the 80s. And not only did they sing your songs, but they wrote songs relevant to New Orleans and the times, things that we needed to hear. Yes. And I think that they had the courage to do it because of you. And I want to thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. I hope they're all safe.
Thank you, sister.
Diane calling us from San Francisco. Let me ask you one more question. I described at the beginning of the program Sweet Honey in the Rock as an institution. Do you all see it going beyond you?
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to see who the next Sweet Honey will evolve, right. will be. You know, who will these people be? What will they think about? What will they sing about? And how will they interpret the songs that we are doing now?
Yes. And what new songs will they bring in? But Carol, talk to us. Yes. It's also a business as well as a, you have a message. You're trying to do things for people, but it's also a business. That part isn't so easy.
Yes, it is. And the women in the group maintain the business. We have a cadre of people, manager, booking agent, office assistant, people who travel on the road with us. But I think we are very unique in that way. We handle the business. We run the business. We make sure the business is healthy. We have a board of directors, and we, you know, keep it going. We keep it going.
Well, let's wind it up in this case because we have time for one more tune, Forever Love.
This is a love song that Sweet Honey does. We do love songs in addition to some of the other songs that we offer the world. And this was written by Aisha Khalil. It's called Forever Love. Do 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 do
Thank our guests this past hour, members of Sweet Honey in the Rock. They are Carol Maylard, Louise Robinson, Ezi Barnwell, Arne, Netanju Bolade Cassell, and Aisha Khalil. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Ira Flatow's here tomorrow with Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.
Follow me on the wings of love. We'll dance, we'll fly, we'll soar to the heavens, fly to heaven. Lovely.